Chapter 1, The Theology of History. History is concerned with individual and contingent facts in order to discern the supreme causes and laws of the events which historians narrate. We must stand out from and place ourselves above these events. To do this with certainty, one should, of course, be enlightened by him who holds all things in the hollow of his hand. Unaided human reason cannot even attempt to give an account of the supreme interests at stake in the world, for in the world, as it is historically, these interests are supernatural. Human reason, strengthened by faith, that is, by the acceptance of the information God has given us about the world through his Son and through the society founded by him, can attempt to give this account, though with a lively consciousness of its limitations. It is only when we shall be in possession of the beatific vision that the full beauty of the divine plan which is being worked out in this world will be visible to us. Until then, we can only make an imperfect attempt at what must be not the philosophy, but the theology of history. The theologian who has the Catholic faith is in touch with the full reality of the world and can therefore undertake to show, however feebly and imperfectly, the interplay of the supreme realities of life. The philosopher, as such, knows nothing about the reality of the divine life of grace, which we lost by the fall of our first parents, and nothing of the mystical body of Christ, through which we receive back that life. The philosophy of history, if it is to be true philosophy, that is, knowledge by supreme causes, must therefore be rather the theology of history. Yet how few, even among those who have the Catholic faith, think of turning to the instructions and warnings issued by the representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth when they wish to ascertain the root causes of the present chaotic condition of the world. The supreme law, illustrated in the actual historical world, is that it is well or ill with it simply and absolutely in proportion as it accepts or rejects God's plan for the restoration of our real life, the life of grace lost by original sin. The events of our age, as of every age, are in the last analysis the results of man's acceptance or rejection of the divine plan for ordered human life. They are, therefore, the consequences of the application to action of the ideas of what is order and what is disorder, which have been held by different minds. Accordingly, the appreciation of these events and of their consequences for the future must be based on what we Catholics know by faith above the order of the world, and we must turn, first of all, to the documents in which the vicars of Christ have outlined for us what is in accordance with the divine plan and what is opposed to it. The theology of history must therefore never lose sight of papal pronouncements on the tendencies of an age or its spirit. Now, one such outstanding pronouncement with regard to the political order of our day is the syllabus of Pope Pius IX, and it is my intention to lay particular stress on it. The study is rendered more attractive by the fact that the enemies of the Catholic Church attack this papal document continually. For example, the French Masonic Review, L'Acacia, November 1930, published the syllabus with an introduction of which a portion runs as follows, quote, "We have considered it well to publish again the text of the famous syllabus, which has become almost impossible to find. As the Church does not wish the syllabus to be subjected to the judgments and criticisms of the Catholics of the present day, she has systematically brought up and burned the copies in the vernacular which were being offered for sale," end of quote. These statements are, needless to say, foul calumnies of the Catholic Church in the usual Masonic style. The Church is only too anxious that the syllabus should be well known to Catholics. Pope Leo XIII, the successor of Pope Pius IX, alludes to it in the following terms, quote, "Pius IX branded publicly many false opinions which were gaining ground, and afterwards ordered them to be condensed in summary form in order that in this sea of error Catholics might have a light that they might safely follow." Encyclical letter Immortale Dei, 1885. Again, the Catholic Church, the spouse of Christ, never stoops to actions such as those of which the Masonic Review speaks. Such calumnies should have the effect of making Catholics esteem the syllabus and other papal documents more highly and increase their anxiety to become better acquainted with their teaching. Papal documents treating of the mystical body in relation to politics and economics, as well as those which deal with the influence of the saints, the truly great men of the world of their times, are of paramount importance for the study of the theology of history. The syllabus and the various condemnations of liberalism promulgated by the sovereign pontiffs aimed at fixing certain truths firmly in the minds of Catholics. The return to sane thinking about social organization demanded as a prerequisite the purification of thought and the elimination of error.